some friends who can benefit from the gospel. Amen? Amen. Did I say 1 John 2:15? And I'll be reading through verse 20. Sister Kathy, you know I'm just giving you a hard time. You know I love you. Yeah, I can dish it out. I can take it, Sister Kathy. You know. Amen. You know. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Wow. If a man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time or the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifested or manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction, you have an anointing, you have a oiling, you have a smearing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen. So we've been going over this series, and I don't know what number it is. I just when I put them on the website, we put them on according to date. I don't know what the message is. I don't know what you, the world, God versus the world. And you are on one side or the other. And if you say, Pastor, I'm cool, I'm not going to choose a side, then you know you're not on God's side. You know whose side you're on. So that settles that right off the top. But you do, and we're going to dig a little deeper into it, but you're on one side or the other. The Bible talks about that we can be in the world, obviously, because we are, but not of the world. Where God has your heart, God has your mind, God has your life, and not the world. So here we are. We looked at verse 15. It tells us to love not the world and the things that are in the world. If a man love the Father, and if a man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So we know that we have to make a choice. Last week, we talked a little bit about verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So we saw in the example with Adam and Eve, how she saw that the food was good to eat. That was the lust of the flesh. She saw it was good to the eyes, the lust of the eyes and make her wise, the pride of life. And parents, let me help liberate you right now. How many of you have kids? And you all know what's coming next. How many of you have seen a kid? Okay. All right. You know what's coming next. But you think about it. Adam and Eve had everything. They were kids, God's creation. And God gave them everything, Brother Tommy. And Eve still allowed herself to get deceived, and Adam disobeyed. They lost everything God had given them through deception and disobedience. The two D's. So, family, always beware of the two D's, deception and disobedience. And deception is also a synonym for seduction or being seduced. You know when you're being seduced because it goes against God's word. It benefits the other person, and it doesn't benefit you. So you just think about your relationships, and they're trying to take you from God. It's deception, it's seduction. But parents, I want to say this. God gave them everything, and they still chose to operate within their free will and forfeited the blessing that God had given them. And sometimes we kick ourselves, we beat ourselves up because we've done everything for our kids. Look how they're acting. And then God says, now you go in the mirror and tell yourself that. And God says, now you go in the mirror and tell yourself that. So parents, don't beat yourself up. You could give them everything, but they still have to choose to love and serve God. And you can't be the Holy Spirit. You can't play Holy Spirit. So let me liberate you right off the top. Don't even try. You pray for them. And we always talk about the paradox, the oxymoron, the grown kids, the adult children. We'll beat ourselves up all the time. And just think about it. I remember we sat down, my mom, and you all met my mom before, and a few years ago, and we were telling her some of the things that we did and when we were kids. And then the stories we told her to cover up what we did. They had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with us doing what we want to do. Mom, you and Dad were the best. We just wanted to act a fool. So don't beat yourself up, parents. Pray for your kids. Model before them. Live right before them. And when they make a wrong turn, you help them to, you share the right way, but you can't force them to do anything. Amen. Just like God can't force you to do anything. So we saw how Eve was deceived and Adam was disobedient. And then we saw how the enemy even tried to deceive and seduce Jesus Christ after he was in the wilderness and he was hungry. And he told him, do it the easy way. Don't go to the cross. Take the easy way out. But Jesus said he was filled with the Spirit before, during, and after. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And he was filled with the Word as well. Then we saw the enemy knew the Word too. So the enemy quotes Scripture too. He quotes half Scriptures, but you will think you have such a godly man or a godly woman because they know the Bible. Make sure they know the Bible and they're filled with the Spirit of God. So Satan showed us that you can know the Bible and be filled with his Spirit. So we have to know the difference. Just because they're quoting scriptures, don't come home smiling. He's Mr. Right. I got him. Finally met him. Finally met her. Not necessarily. Now it's time to observe the life. Amen. And see if they're walking the walk and not just talking the talk. And here we go. That's where we get to. Verse 17 talks about the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We see all this stuff that we think we're working so hard for and mean so much that it's all passing away. But now we get to verse 18. It talks about little children. It's the last hour. It's the last time, the last hour. And you've heard that the Antichrist shall come. And right here, he's talking about even within the church, the spirit of Antichrist. And he was mainly talking about leadership. How the leadership in the church was coming in and bringing in different doctrines and heresies and deceiving the people. Wow. So you've already seen them. And it even the scripture in, if you make a note of it, I'll write that scripture down. In, I believe it's Matthew. Oh, I'm going to have to come back to that. But it's in Matthew, I believe it's 13, where Jesus talks about the wheat and the tares grow up together. And you can't even tell the difference. So you'll be there and you could be sitting right next to a tare and wouldn't even know it until they grow, until they're finally bundled up and cast into the fire. And this is what it's talking about, the Antichrist. And those of us, I don't know if I shared this story, and I'll share it again quickly. Those of us who are old enough to remember a gentleman by the name of Jim Jones, who was a pastor. And he took the congregation to South America, Jonestown or Jamestown, Guyana, one of those. And when I remember in college, I rededicated my life. And one of my best buddies who was in the Army, he was home and I went to visit him. And when I was sitting there talking to his mom and she was saying, you know, I'm glad to hear that you've rededicated your life. She said, make sure you stay in the Word. Make sure you know the Word. And she told me how she was a part of Jim Jones's church. And she said, you know, she felt bad for the people that were over there. But she said when he threw the Bible down in church and said, we don't need this anymore, that's when she left. Right. Hear what I'm saying, family. Yeah. Wheat and the tares grew up together. He's talking about the Antichrist within the church. Yeah. And she said she didn't really, it didn't really sink into her until she went back the next week. Brother Tommy, let me see your Bible just for a minute. And she said she was sitting there with her Bible, and it was a baby was crying. And they told her, you know what? The Bible's making the baby nervous. You need to leave. That's why that baby's crying. Sister Washington, she said she got up with her Bible, never went back. And next thing we know, we're seeing on the news in Jamestown, Guyana, where he's deceived all these people. She said when he threw the Bible down in church and said, I'm God, you listen to me, you don't need this anymore. She said, I'm out of here. But it took her a week for it to sink in. And she went back. And I remember our former ministry, because I think Oprah did something. I believe it was the mid-90s. She did something on Jamestown. And our former ministry at Maranatha, where we all went to, there's a couple of members there, Herb and Jackie. And they actually were in Guyana. And so Oprah was interviewing them, and they talked about how they were getting shot at, and they went and ran and hid in the jungle, and they were the few that escaped. I mean, it sounds extreme, but what could the people have been thinking about? How could you stay somewhere like that? But it's the seduction, it's the deception. And here we are, look at verse 18. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. And remember, anytime we do anything that's against Christ, we're allowing the spirit of the Antichrist. We're thinking it's this figure that's supposed to show up, but it's when we're not living right that we're operating with the spirit of the Antichrist. We deny Christ with our life and with our actions every time we go out and do something disobedient. Oh, Pastor, that's deep. I know, but it's not complicated. Even now, there are many Antichrists whereby we know it is the last hour. Huh, look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. So he's talking, man, they were in church with us and we don't see them anymore. And look what they're doing and look what they're saying and look how they're misleading the people. Remember, they're talking about leadership, not necessarily the congregation, but some of the leaders that were in the church. They would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all, were not all of us. Now, this gets into the question of can you lose your salvation? Because some people say that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved and sealed for life. Some people say, no, you can lose your salvation. Another side say, no, once you're saved, you're saved. No, if you but right here it says they weren't saved from the beginning. They were pretenders from the beginning. You can't lose something you never had. You can't say, man, I went gambling and I almost lost $1 million. You never had it. I was trying to gamble, man, it was $1 million jackpot, man. I lost it. No, you never had it. You can't lose something you never had. Look at John. Turn with me to John. Keep your finger there and look at John 10. John 10 and 22. And this talks about how you cannot lose your salvation because we belong to God. We're his sheep. God has given us to Jesus and no man can pluck us out of his hand. John 22, when you're there, say amen. John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him. They surrounded him and said unto him, how long do you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. I guess that's some of us right now. As much as God has done for us, we're still saying, God, are you really there? God, are you really the Christ? As much evidence as he's left, we still say, God, can you just make it plain? you provided for me my whole life, but I just need to know, can you make it plain today? Jesus answered them and said, basically, I told you and you believe not. God said, I've always been there and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. Uh-oh, watch out now. Now we're getting personal. So here's, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the ones who just like to hear themselves talk. He's talking to the religious leaders, those who know the word, but do not have the Spirit of God. Those who want to put on a show, but they don't want to know. The ones who always want to be right and do all the traditional things, but don't want to love God's people. Jesus answered them, verse 25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Underline that, highlight that. So in your prayer time, as you're praying to be led by the Holy Spirit, pray, God, let me hear your voice. Let me distinguish what's your voice and what's not your voice. When someone is talking to you, you should be able to distinguish right away, that's not of God. Let me say that youth, for our youth, those of you in elementary, middle, high school, and college, when someone is talking to you, well, let me add those of us that are not so young, amen? But when someone is talking to you, immediately you should be able to know, that's not God's voice. It's not right. That's not what the word says. That's a little off. Remember, Satan knows the word. He'll take it out of context. That doesn't... But keep listening. Okay. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's his sheep. And it gets better. Neither shall any man pluck them or snatch them out of my hand. Once you've sincerely accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, nobody can ever take that away. And that's your salvation. Yes, we can get out of fellowship, and that's where we get into backsliding and, you know, and just being out there. But God has never left you. If you sincerely meant that, you are saved. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the word. And God has set it up where nobody knows if you're saved. Nobody knows if I'm saved. That's between you and God. And that's where the realness has to come in, between you and God. It's just like we read the other week where the centurion, he said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, I'm really trying to have you show up in my life in a real way, but it's so much going on. I don't know if you're there. That's an honest prayer. God, I'm struggling right now. That's the transparency that God is looking for between us and him. Let's go back to 1 John. Well, no, I'm sorry. Stay there. Then we'll go back really quickly. Let's finish this. Verse 28. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So not only do Jesus have us in his hand, so does the Father. But then he breaks it down and it gets heated right now. Verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him because he said, I'm equal with God. Jesus answered, verse 32, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew exactly what he was saying. Don't let anybody tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. He said he was the Son of God. Right here he said, me and my Father are one. I'm God, just like, you're not going to take him out of his hand. You're not going to take him out of my hand. Matter of fact, we're the same hand. When you see this hand, you see his hand. Oh, no, you're not going to slide with that. Let's stone this guy. They knew exactly what he was saying, but it wasn't his time. He didn't come to be stoned. He came to die on the cross for our sins and shed his blood so we could be free. Turn back to 1 John. And then look at 1 John 1 and 5. So if we're talking about salvation and we're talking about losing your salvation and not losing your salvation, take a brief look at 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. So as we're lining up our life, here's the message. Here's the message that we've heard. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk, we practice, we park, we live in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Yes, you can go through your life lying to yourself and never experiencing the truth. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Highlight that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So as you walk in the light, we have fellowship with each other. All right, so think about your relationships. As I was going over this, I thought about three types of relationships. The ones you have fellowship with. And that's because you walk in the light. How do you walk in the light? Because it's transparent. Your relationship is transparent. I'm struggling. I'm living for God. I'm having a tough week. But I know God's going to work it out. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. You have accountable relationships because with the transparency, it's accountable. It's no ulterior motive. It's no hidden agenda. I'm not living in sin. It's not all overt. I'm not trying to hide. I'm not trying to cover up like Adam and Eve did. I'm not blaming everybody else. My relationship with you, we have fellowship because I'm transparent. Pastor, how you doing? I'm doing good. But this is how it is. So you're transparent, so you have fellowship because that gives you intimacy. Because I know your heart, you know my heart, because I'm sharing it. Then you have those that you're just friends with. That's friendship. You can be somebody's friend and not have fellowship. You have people on your job that you're friends with, but that's all it is. It's no fellowship because you can't get to the deeper things of God. That's fellowship. So we're friends. Fellowship is when you're able to break it down. You know how you can, even with my own family, and I love my brothers and my sister, and sometimes we get to fellowship, but most times it's just a lot of friendship. Because I can't go deep. You know, bro, you go, bro, that's a little too deep for us right now. It's okay, cool. Let's just be friends. Let's not have fellowship. Let's be friends. Because fellowship involves transparency. Three types. You have fellowship, people you hang out with and you fellowship with. Then you have friendship. And then you have sinship. Those who you hang out with and y'all commit sin. Now, you tell me, yes, between you and God, where you evaluate your relationship. I got to evaluate mine, you evaluate yours, okay? It's between you and God. But he said, don't deceive yourself. And it gets better. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Remember, Satan deceived Eve. But in John, it's saying, if you're trying to walk out of here and say that you don't have any sin, you don't need to get anything together. We're talking about your thought life. We're talking about the motive behind the motive behind the motive. God, he's going to put all that out there. If someone tells you, man, I got it together. I haven't sinned in about 10 years. You get away from them as fast as you can. You run from them. That's way too weird for me. Because I'm nightly saying, God, forgive me. I knew I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have. God, what was I thinking about? God, help me to think better because I know I'm responsible for my thoughts. That's transparency. That's fellowship. That's how we have fellowship with God, because it's honesty. It's truth. It's not covering up. It's not blaming others. Verse 9, if we say that we have no sin, we just please don't deceive yourself. Don't seduce yourself. Amen. And the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from just a few of the things that we. I'm not going to have many break down all because we broke that down too many times. But he says when he cleanses from all unrighteousness, but understand it's from you walking in the light, is from you being transparent. Because, you know, when the light comes in, when you walking in the light, see, it exposes darkness. Amen. So that's why people don't want you talking about Jesus Christ, because that exposes the darkness. Yes. Hey, we know Jesus. Oh, man, stop right there. They want to stop you right there. No. Talk about anything. But when you're missing Jesus, see, that's the light. You're walking in the light that exposes the darkness. People can't handle that. That's a little bit too much for them. No, I don't want my stuff exposed. I'm enjoying my stuff right now. Here we go. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, my little children, God is always my dear children. These things write unto you that you sin not. Don't practice sin. He's talking about practicing sin where this is just who I am. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus is praying for us right now that you're going to make it, that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, that you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, that you live right, that you act right, that you think right, that you walk in the light. Verse 2 says he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the substitute for our sins. And not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's what makes Jesus so special. Not only did he walk among us and split time in half and resurrect it, family, we got the world telling us that it's obsolete, that we're crazy, we're outdated. America, that's been here for 238 years. The resurrection happened over 2014 years ago. So here are 2014 years compared to 238. Got to be careful. And then the last 10 years, the moral fabric of America has just declined, reached an all-time, not all-time, it's probably going to get worse as the word says, but it's the lowest I've ever seen it in my 51 years of life. I remember growing up and you watch TV and like I said, TV went off. You know, and we were the remote control, my brothers and I, we were the remote control. And you couldn't hear a curse word on TV and you couldn't hear a curse word on the radio. It was all monitored and regulated. Now they'll let you say anything, do anything, show you anything and tell you that, you know what, it's the right thing to do. Isn't it something how the world has just screwed our heads on so backwards that you'll have, you know, people do anything and everything and tell you that it's right. And then you have us trying to live right and they'll tell you that it's wrong. And that's the culture that we are in. And the prayer that I put on the back, family, I'm telling you, in order to keep your perspective, you have to pray, you have to study every day, every morning. Family, I'm not talking about a doctoral thesis dissertation. I'm talking about give God 5, 2, 3 minutes a day and grow from there. It's just like when you go back to the gym. You don't go and just do everything. You're going to pass out. And then you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to come back. You're going to say the gym doesn't work. I tried it, Brother John. It don't work. I went one day. It didn't work. That pastor just making up stuff. I tried that for a week. And look at me. Well, right, okay. It's the same here. God says, just Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. I had a guy at the gym I was talking to, and we were talking about seeking God. And he's into all types of sports. He knows the stats on everything. Mixed martial arts, he knows this guy's height, he knows his weight, he knows his stats. And I just told him, I said, and he got it, I said, when you stand before God, God's going to say, you should have known my stats like that. We go after and we seek and we learn from what we want, whether it's our our favorite team, our favorite actress, singer. I know where he was born. I know what school they went to. I know everything. And God is saying, when you stand before me, you better know me like that. You better know me like that. What do you say? All y'all on Facebook, get your face in this book. So all God is telling us, we will stand before him and we will have no excuse. I want you all to be praying too as we're talking about taking that trip to Israel next November. Pray that God opens that door. Amen. Pray for the resources and the finances for so that whoever wants to go can go and experience that. See, that's the seeking God is talking about. Because sometimes we have the spiritual evidence of a changed life. But when you go over there and you see that physical evidence, and when you stand before God, say, okay, God, I just bought me a brand new car for this amount. God said, you could have went to Israel for less than that. Oh, but I wanted to drive around and show everybody how good I look. Okay. All right, let me show you the video of your life and see how good you look. We'll say, Sister Sherry, please don't, God. We don't want to see that. God, not that one, God. I hope it's covered by the blood, all of it. I hope even when they cut it on, you know how the screen comes and the blood comes down and covers it? It's like, woo! Because we sure didn't want to go there. Trust me, we sure didn't want to go there. We'll be without excuse. We can't tell God you didn't know what it was like. Growing up, living here, God said, no, actually, I walked and I had to deal with these guys trying to trap me in my words, picking up stones, wanting to hit me. Have to get crucified for you. God could say you don't know what it's like to be crucified. They had to make up a word, excruciating. It couldn't even, a word couldn't even describe what he went through. They had to create a word for what he felt on that cross. There was no word to describe it. And you're going to tell them, well, you didn't know what it was like. I lost my job. Oh, really? Well, I had to catch the bus. Oh, really? You know, they walked out on me. Well, he was a loser anyway. I did you a favor, and you went chasing him. It's a whole nother issue. All right, God. Hey, all right, God, let the blood cover the screen. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you. Oh, my goodness, Lord. You're looking for us to be transparent. You're looking for us to be real. You want us to be in fellowship with you and with each other. Might have someone who said, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I understand he forgives sins. He covers us, Lord, but I need to get to the first step. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to call on him this morning for your salvation? We will be without excuse. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, go ahead and elevate your hand. I love to pray for you. You don't have to guess. You can know this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ, but I just want to rededicate my life. I want to get focused, Lord. I want to get back on track. I recognize that God has always been there for me, and now I want to go ahead and get right back on track. I want to get right with God. I've never lost my salvation. I just been a little bit out of fellowship. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need a church home. I need a place where I can come and experience the love of God through God's people and experience the love of God with God's people. And from the worship of to the word, I want to know that God is moving. I know that God is moving. I want to be a part of that and find my method and my purpose of the plan that God has for my life. We'd love to be your family. If that's you, elevate your hand this morning. You're looking for a church home. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, and we bless you for this day. There's none like you, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. We thank you, Lord, and thank you for Sister J.L. coming up. I want to ask some of the ladies just to come in. And some of the youth. Thank God for our youth. And JL saying, Dad, I want to rededicate my life as a teenager and as I move forward with God. And how does it look being the pastor's daughter coming up for rededication? I said, it looks perfectly all right.
Thank you.
Especially with family, and we know what it's like to be a youth. We know what it's like. We've been there. We know it was all the distractions, frustrations, temptations, and we thank God for a heart that loves God. And I told her, I said, you know, we're going to present the young ladies on New Year's Eve. She said, yeah, but I feel like God's telling me to even come up before then.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you, Lord. We ask you cover her.
Yes.
We thank you, as your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, as she's into teenhood, Lord, that, and the rest of our teens too, those that are up here. For Bree and Ansi, I see Rose. I see, is that Dominique, Evangelina?
Yes, Lord.
Jamaica, we thank you for our youth, especially our young ladies, Lord. Cover them. Let them know the special treasure that they are in you. Let them know how blessed they are because they have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who loves, who cares about them, who watches over them, who will be there for them. I pray, Lord, that they would all rededicate their life and live for God. I pray, Lord, that you would allow them to hear your voice.
Yes.
And when they hear that other voice that's telling them to do this or do that or come here, or you're not this or you're not that, Lord, that you would speak even louder and remind them that they are your precious daughters. And how you died for them, how you loved them, how you covered them, how you have a plan and a purpose for their life. Despite what the world says, Lord, show them how beautiful they are, how fearfully and wonderfully that they are made. The special treasure that they are to you, the plan and purpose that you have for their life, how you're going to use them mightily like you've always used women in the Bible.
Yes.
To share the good news of Jesus Christ, to evangelize, to help, to serve, to lead. So we cover them and we bless them. We pray a special blessing on all of their lives this morning. Their life will never be the same because of their encounter with Jesus Christ. Pray for the parents, that the parents, that we would model Christ before them.
Yes.
That we wouldn't provoke our children unto wrath, but we would love them and care for them and guide them and direct them. Support them. And bless them.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We bless our youth. We bless you for the youth that are in this house. God, you're great and greatly to be praised. Thank you for renewal and revival and refreshing, resurrection, rededication on this day. Continue to use the youth of this church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You all stand to your feet. Rose, Evangelina, Dominique, love you guys. So special to God, so special to us. Love you. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.